more Edward R. Murrow Awards than any other radio station in the country. News Radio 710 KIRO Seattle.
KIRO. This is the Lou Page Show, your overnight reality check, making our way towards, the weekend and news. But first, we continue on with our discussion on reincarnation. We are rejoined by Stephen Sakellarios, the maker of the documentary In Another Life, Reincarnation in America, and his website is posted on my page on the KIRO website at www.ial.goldthread.com. We also welcome to the show Carol Bowman. She holds a master's degree in counseling, practices past life-oriented counseling and therapy. She's appeared on numerous shows, real shows, not like my show. I'm talking Oprah, Good Morning America, Unsolved Mysteries, and she has opened up the eyes of millions of people in reference to past lives. She has a website, www.childpastlives.org, and that'll be up there right next to Steve's link on my page. Let's welcome back Steve and also Carol Bowman. Carol, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time. How are you?
Good morning. I'm waking up. Thank you.
It's this ungodly hour is what it is. I'm working on getting a day shift, but if I have a past life, that person is nocturnal because it can't seem to get off of it. But now, the work that you're doing, it's very important. If I'm mistaken, was this inspired by your son Chase, who has revealed one of the most dramatic past life stories on record?
I wouldn't go that far, but it was dramatic for me.
As his mom,
I saw it firsthand, and it was quite dramatic.
Now, I saw you. I'm familiar with your son Chase's story. Oh. Many of the 710 KIRO listeners may not be. If you would be so kind as to walk them through it, that would be fantastic.
Sure, I'd love to. In 1988, Chase was 5 years old, and he was a fearless little boy. And we took him to a 4th of July fireworks celebration, which he had been to many times before. Many times meaning four at that age. This particular evening, just as the fireworks started and the loud booming sounds began, he became absolutely hysterical. He wouldn't stop crying, and that was very out of character for him. So as any mother would, I kind of rationalized it away. Well, he was overstimulated, he had too much sugar, something was going on.
Right.
But he wouldn't settle down, and I thought, well, that's odd. A few weeks later, again, he was exposed to big booming sounds at an indoor swimming pool. When anyone went on the diving board, it made these big reverberating booming sounds in the building. And he wouldn't even go in the building. He dragged me out and started crying hysterically. So at that point, I figured out it was the loud booming sounds that were terrifying him, but I was still puzzled because there was nothing in his short life to account for that. And as fate would have it, and I believe this was fated for me, I had a hypnotherapist friend who was visiting us a few weeks later, and Chase was due to start kindergarten, and I mentioned his fear to my hypnotherapist friend, Norman Ng, and I thought maybe Norman can give him some post-hypnotic suggestions so the next time he was around these big booming sounds, he wouldn't have such an hysterical reaction.
Because it's not, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's not odd for a child to be afraid of loud noises, I would think.
Right, except the degree to which he was afraid was really puzzling. He was absolutely hysterical. I couldn't calm him down. And I had never seen him react to anything like that before. As I said, he was kind of a fearless little boy. So I was thinking Norm could give him just some post-hypnotic suggestion that would take care of his fear. And he asked if we'd like to try a little experiment, and we both trusted him as a skilled hypnotherapist, so we said, sure. And he said to Chase, and Chase was a little kid at this point, he said, sit on your mom's lap, close your eyes, and tell me what you see when you hear the loud sounds that frighten you. And immediately, Chase started talking about himself as a man, a soldier, He described his uniform. He described the gun he was carrying with a long sword at the end. At this point, the hair on my arm started raising, and I was going, what the? I had no idea what was going on. And he went on to say how he was crouching behind a rock, and it was confusing in battle. And
now he's 4 years old.
He was five, actually.
Five at this point, okay.
Yeah, but this is a kid who never had any toy guns, never engaged in war games as a little boy. He was more a builder.
Mm-hmm.
We had a pretty strict no television policy except for Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street. So I was in my mind, I was trying to go back and think, okay, what could this possibly be?
They don't even have like a soldier character, I think, on the Muppets.
No. But it was what was striking to me is he was describing it in a first-person perspective, and nothing a five-year-old would pick up from a war movie, even, because he said he was scared, he was confused.
Hmm.
And these were, as I was listening, these were real sentiments of someone who could be in battle. They were not the glorified version of war.
Right.
So he went on to say how he was shot in his wrist, in his right wrist, and he said, they take me to a hospital, but it's not like a regular hospital. It's just these big poles in the ground with some material covering it. They put me on a bed, but it's not a regular bed. It's a hard bench. So I was saying, wow, this is really weird.
I mean, as a mother, though, you must have been frightened.
Well, I think I was in a mild state of shock. And Norman was kind of hushing me. My impulse was, what's going on here? And he just kind of motion for me to just go with it. And Chase said he was shot in the wrist. He blacked out. They took him to this hospital. They bandaged his wrist and told him to go into battle. And at this point, he said, I don't want to go. I miss my wife and children. And that was the thing that pushed me over the edge. When you hear your five-year-old say, I missed my wife and children.
That would make you a grandma.
Right.
And that would make him a five-year-old dad.
Yeah, that was really when it got really bizarre.
That is strange.
Yeah, so anyway, he went on to say, he missed his wife and family. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be in the war. And at this point, Norman, who had led many, many adults through past life regression, he was a certified hypnotherapist who did this as part of his practice, he knew that Chase was, was accessing past life material at this point. And he said to Chase in very simple language, he said, we live many different lifetimes on Earth. It's like we're actors in a play, and in some lifetimes we're soldiers. We have to kill other people in battle, or we are killed, and there's no blame in that. And I thought, my son's not going to get this. But I could feel Chase relaxing on my lap, and I could see the tension draining from his face. And Chase went on to say, well, they tell me to go back to battle. They put me behind the cannon. I pull a string. And at this point, he just opened his eyes and hopped off my lap and went off to play with his Legos. And I thought, wow, what was that? And in the excitement of the moment, my 9-year-old daughter Sarah was sitting with us, and she said, Mom, that place on his wrist where he said he was shot, that's where he has his eczema. And I was so carried away by his story that I didn't put it together, but since Chase had been about 9 months old, he had a severe and chronic eczema on one spot on his wrist, and he used to scratch it constantly. And in fact, it was so severe, I had taken him to several doctors. We tried food elimination diet, antibiotic creams, everything you can think of. Nothing worked. I used to bandage that wrist at night so he wouldn't wake up with bloodied sheets.
Oh, so he'd scratch it he'd scratch it that much even in his sleep,
yeah.
Huh? Wow.
Yeah. So Norman said, well, this is probably a past life memory, probably the loud sounds from the fireworks and from the other situation stimulated the memory, as the sounds would on a battlefield. Mm-hmm. And he said, just wait and see if his fear doesn't go away. Well, the short version of the story is within 2 or 3 days that eczema cleared up completely, his loud sounds went away, his fear of loud sounds went away too, to the extent that he asked for his first drum that after that and is now a professional drummer, among other things.
So his fear ends, your nightmare begins.
Actually, we love it. But, this is just the beginning, because after this 15-minute or so recollection, his memory came up spontaneously a few times after that. Just out of the blue, he would talk about when he was a soldier. And as he got older, the story remained consistent, but more details came out, and finally he had some resolution with it.
Now, what made the eczema clear up and made the fear go away?
Well, that's the big question. What I learned after this happened, I started doing research, and I found that when adults do past life regression, and that's what most of the case studies were at this point, you go back to a death experience through hypnosis. You go back to the past life, you go through the death. And usually what you find, if someone dies traumatically, like in a war situation.
Or suddenly.
Where there's unfinished business or there's lack of resolution. It's not a peaceful death. Things get locked into place emotionally, physically, psychologically. In Chase's case, he was very conflicted about his role as a soldier. That battle wound that he suffered probably right before his death kind of locked into place in his, which carried over in his physical body. And by going back and getting some resolution, Norm was very wise in telling him there's no blame. He picked up on the issue that he felt guilty about being a soldier.
So basically the past life, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was a soldier who was evidently a moral character, a moral man who struggled with having to kill other people.
Right. As it turned out, as his story unfolded over the next year and a half until he was about 7, he said he was a peaceful man. And the kicker was, and this is something, a 5-year-old wasn't going to make up, as the story came out, he said, just over breakfast one day, it came out spontaneously, he told me he was black. Which is really ironic, because Chase is one of these redheads who couldn't be more white.
never a dull moment.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of blew me away. But, I took it in stride, because I know that through the process of reincarnation, we can experience lives as different races, as either sex. We take turns with different experiences. So it was just ironic that he's such a white boy in this life, and he's such an incredible drummer.
The red hair, the pale skin, huh?
Yeah, and the funny thing, so many things unfolded in his life that related to that lifetime. For example, he is now the drummer in a backup band for a black Philadelphia hip-hop artist. And he's drawn to African-American culture.
Did you find out? Did you ever find out who the soldier was?
No. In fact, when Oprah did a show on my research, she hired an historian. I knew a psychiatrist who lived in New Jersey, not too far away, who came over and regressed Chase and tried to get him to remember his name, but it really didn't pan out. So to me, that's not important. I mean, it would have been great if he said his name was so-and-so and he's from this town and Virginia, we could have traced him, but actually he said he was a free black man during the war, so we knew he was in the North, and he joined up not knowing what he was getting into, and that was the issue for him.
I was going to say, because the time frame when you mentioned the canon before,
yeah,
and if he's a free black man, obviously it's not World War II or Korea or Vietnam.
No, he actually, it's at age 6 and a half, said it was the Civil War.
He did draw it, right, Carol?
What was that, Stephen?
He drew those images, I believe, at some point.
Yeah, actually, he drew the battlefield, and we had a Civil War historian look at the drawing on the basis that they thought that the battle was near Richmond.
Now, Stephen, I didn't forget about you there. I was enjoying the story, and I wanted to ask you, you mentioned in the previous hour the many different types of reincarnation. Where would Chase's fall under?
I'm not sure I follow. I think it's a story that's repeated over and over and over.
No, but I'm saying that you mentioned different types of reincarnation. Like what heading would this fall under?
Well, I'm not sure I follow. Because I'm not sure I follow. I don't remember categorizing.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, well, that's okay. I'm probably mangling your words from the previous hour. I apologize, but it's 4:24. I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick break. We have our special guest, Carol Bowman. Excuse me. Stephen Sekularius is here, back with us from the previous hour. Carol is a lecturer. And she is a spiritual counselor on past life regressions. She is sharing with us the story of her son, Chase Bowman. Her website, www.childpastlives.org. It's 4:25 here at 710 Cairo. This is the Lou Pate Show. Our special guest, Carol Bowman, is here talking about past life regression. Stephen Sekularius, the maker of the documentary In Another Life, Reincarnation in America. Both of their websites can be found on my page on the Cairo website. But Carol's is www.childpastlives.org. And we'll continue our conversation. Carol, before you were propelled into this work, were you doing this before, or did your son's experience propel you into this?
My son's experience.
What did you do before that, if you don't mind me asking?
I was paralegal. I spearheaded a tree ordinance in Asheville, North Carolina. I was doing some civic stuff. I was basically a stay-at-home mother, which made it even more interesting because I knew what Chase had been exposed to at that point.
So you're totally, totally unrelated to all. So it wasn't like you're a mom who's gone 10 hours a day and say, well, maybe he could have stumbled upon this.
Right. No, I had been home with him. And after that experience, I started doing research. I started talking to other mothers in Asheville, trying to figure out if they had had any similar experiences, if their children talked about when they were big before. And I started finding in my own community that people had stories. And this is pre-internet days, you know, when research was very different. And I found there had been a lot of accounts written by adults in past life regression, Brian Weiss's book, Roger Wolger's, there were some other books out there. But no one had written about children and helping them with their past life memories. However, there was a great big body of research by Dr. Ian Stevenson at the University of Virginia Medical School, who had written volumes about spontaneous past life recall in children. And he had studied almost 3,000 cases of children around the world, mostly in Asia, who just out of the blue started talking about when they were big before and gave very specific information so that Dr. Stevenson and his research colleagues around the world could actually confirm or validate the children's memories.
Now you mentioned the children, and that follows right into my next question. Mm-hmm. They say the innocence of a child, Carol, are children more prone to remember past life experiences, and as we get older, are we ruined in a sense?
Well, actually, the memories are pretty accessible for children up until about the age of 5, 6, or 7. And then it seems like cross-culturally, no matter whether the culture believes in reincarnation or not, the memories tend to fade around the age of 7. So I think it's a developmental process that these memories, they don't disappear entirely. Sometimes they just become unconscious, but we still might be, our behaviors might be affected by them, all aspects of our personality, really, but they're just not conscious anymore. And that's why adults go into past life therapy, to do regression therapy, to access them. But with children, they're just spontaneous. Usually around the ages of 2, 3, and 4, the memories just come up. Children start talking about them or exhibiting behaviors. Phobias are pretty common related to past life, usually deaths. When it was a traumatic death, they can... A child can have fears in the present life relating to the way they died in the past, like Chase's fear of loud booming sounds relating to his battlefield experience.
Yeah, but once he was told it was okay, it removed that the lingering fear. You know, Carol, knowing that you were coming on the show, I was always, you know, trying to think ahead, and I was sitting down by the water the other day, and as I often do, just looking off into the abyss, and I was reading a book, And this little chubby kid came up and started talking to me, and he was just rambling on and on and on, and his father came running over, and he's like, I'm sorry. And I said, oh, no, that's fine. I said, he's a friendly little boy. That's quite all right. And I had a dog, and he's, you know, petting the dog, and the dog's friendly. And he says, no, you don't want him talking to you. He never shuts up. And I said, oh, as long as he's friendly. I said, what does he talk about? He says, oh, everything and anything. And normally I would just brush it off, but I was thinking, it's like if this kid is like citing physics formulas or talking about all, you know, something that's a little 4-year-old chubby kid shouldn't be talking about. And I was thinking, I was like, gosh, maybe you should listen to the little boy. Maybe there's more there than you realize. Maybe it's not just a talkative little kid.
And, right.
I mean,
and really, that's if there's one piece of advice I have for adults, parents, listen to what children have to say with an open mind, and if they start talking about when they were big before or how they died in the past, don't dismiss it. Try to be open and ask open-ended questions, and you might be surprised at what they have to tell you, and it might actually help the child resolve something from the past. And that's why it comes up. I think it comes up because they're seeking resolution. And just by acknowledging what they're saying and assuring them now that the past is over, you know, they're back, they're in a new body. It sounds a little crazy, but it's very effective.
And do you now, Steve, please feel free to jump in at any time. And Steve and I had touched on this in the last hour, Carol. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is something that we all have, or is it just a select few? Is it something that's more common than we think? What has your research found in the sessions that you do with people?
Well, I do two separate things. I do past life regression with adults, but my research is based on the children's spontaneous past life recall. And I suspect that children talk about memories, exhibit behaviors from past lives all the time, and we just don't know what we're looking at. Or they try to express it verbally, and we don't know what we're listening to. So I think it's very common. And I feel that my task is just to educate people that this is a real possibility.
Are you met with a lot of skepticism?
Surprisingly not. You know, when people contact me... I'm
glad to hear that.
Yeah, when people contact me, I also have reincarnationforum.com. Which is an open forum for people to discuss children's past lives or issues related to reincarnation.
Okay, we'll put that on the website as well. What is that website?
Reincarnation Forum, F-O-R-U-M.com. And it's pretty interesting because people post cases of, I was searching the web because my 3-year-old started talking about when he died and, you know, he's very adamant that this is true, and
really has to freak out a young parent. I mean, parenting is hard enough, especially your first child, and when you start have to deal with that, I guess it could be an eye opener. Now, you mentioned
it's an eye opener.
Mentioned your research prior to the internet. I started doing talk shows when you'd be at your station and you would just have your one local paper to search through and try to get ideas. There was no internet, and you mentioned the www.reincarnationforum.com, and we'd like people to also check out the www.childpastlives.org.
Right.
But Carol, I'm on a little website here called carolbowman.com.
Yeah.
And there is a young lady circa 1980 in front of all things, a typewriter.
I know, it's archaic, isn't it?
Oh, no, please. It reminds me of my early days in the newsrooms when if you had a typewriter, you were one of the bigwigs.
Yeah, actually, we were living in the mountains of Western North Carolina on Balsam Mountain when I was writing a little column for the local newspaper on local events. That was my first writing assignment.
And you laugh. Young. You have a little writer in you. That's fine. That's fine. I tell you, we have to take a quick break. I don't like the breaks, Carol, but we need them.
I understand.
We'll get this one in. Stephen Sakellarios is with us, the maker of the documentary In Another Life, Reincarnation in America. Carol Bowman is here with us as well. Check out her website, that's plural, and they'll be on my page, www.reincarnationforum.com. You can have discussions about the issue of of past life regression and reincarnation. The two things that she discusses, I don't want to confuse the two, which I think I just did. And also www.childpastlives.org.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on.
4:42 here at 710 Cairo. This is Lou Pacho with our special guest, Carol Bowman, Stephen Sakellarios, and we are discussing past life regression as we make our way to the top of the hour and news. Now, Carol, I am the furthest thing from an expert on the work that you do, although I applaud it and I find it fascinating. I am to say I'm a novice would be giving me a lot of credit as well. So I ask this totally blind. Yeah. In your work with children, mm-hmm. have you found that it could be a past life experience that a child is dealing with, if a child is a difficult child, or maybe even not difficult, but say removed and stays alone all the time, and for whatever reason, due to a past life experience, just, you know, sits in a corner or plays in its room and doesn't have friends, and or maybe is too outgoing and is bouncing off the walls. Have you ever peeled back the onion during the sessions with these children and found it to be related to a past life experience?
Well, actually, I don't do sessions with children. These are spontaneous memories that parents report to me. And yes, I found that many behaviors children have can relate to past life experiences, especially when they're really young. For example, nightmares or night terrors could be that during the sleep they could be recalling traumatic past life experiences, separation anxiety, oppositional behavior, talents, unlearned abilities. Anything can be related to past lives.
So the positive and the negative.
Exactly. And I want to emphasize that sometimes children just know things that you, well, how did they know that? Because it's not new for them. And in some very rare cases, I've only heard of a couple. I haven't really documented any. Children know foreign languages that they haven't been exposed to.
See, that's amazing. I mean, that's fascinating.
And that's bleed through from previous lives. I have a very quick story about that. And sometimes it's just a word or a phrase that the child will come up with. From as soon as Chase started talking, he would call his older sister Dee Dee. And her name is Sarah, and we thought, well, S's and R's are hard to pronounce, so he just picked this little nickname. And when he was about 6, we had a little girl from India visiting us, and she came running in and said, Mrs. Bowman, Chase calls Sarah Dee Dee. And I said, yeah, I know, he's always called her that. And she said, do you know what that means in Hindi? And I said, no. She said, it means older sister.
Oh.
So, you know, little things like that we might overlook, and I thought, well, that's weird, you know.
You think it's just like a cute nickname from the little brother.
Right. But I've heard many other cases of children talking, you know, a 3-year-old suddenly talking about what it was like in the trenches during the war and talking about a mask on his face. Things that a 2 or 3-year-old is just not going to know.
Now, I referenced your son, Chase Bowman, before. I started out by saying it was the most dramatic past life story. You said not really. I mean, is his experience is that common?
Yeah, they are that common. And, just Steve knows about this. I was on ABC Primetime a couple of times. It was a rerun of this show they did that originally aired in 2004 of a little boy in Louisiana. James Leininger, and when he was 2, he started having nightmares, and he would wake up 4 times a week crying that his plane was crashing.
Was that the one with the pilot?
Yes.
Okay.
And the parents were just, they didn't know what to do with this, and they were exhausted, and no one was getting any sleep, and the child's grandmother gave Andrea, the mother, my first book, Children's Past Lives, where I talk about how to process these memories with kids, and I talk about nightmares, that sometimes they're actually remembering past life experiences. So she started talking to James, comforting him, you know, saying, well, what happened when your plane crashed? And he He said it was shot down, and he said the little man couldn't get out. He referred to himself as the little man couldn't get out. And after she talked to him about it and acknowledged it, the nightmares dramatically decreased and then disappeared entirely. And he started talking about his life as a pilot, and he was obsessed with airplanes. He knew details about airplanes that the parents didn't know. He told them that he flew a Corsair. They didn't know what a Corsair was. And they started questioning, well, you know, where did you fly? And he said, well, my plane took off a boat. What was the name of the boat? And he said, Natoma. And the father, who was, very devout Christian, didn't want to believe that it could be a past life. And he started doing research, trying to disprove what the child was saying. And he found, after doing extensive research for about a year and a half, he was able to identify who his son was on the basis of what he said. The child actually remembered his best friend's name, first and last name, the name of his aircraft carrier, what kind of plane he flew, and this was all verified by the father's research, and they found there was a pilot on the Natamo Bay, which was an aircraft carrier in the Pacific off of Iwo Jima. There was one pilot who died exactly as little James described it.
And you know, I laugh because I remember watching that. I did see that on primetime. And the father is, you know, it's vintage World War II aircraft. And the kid, I think it's some type of, I don't know what it was. I forget, but it was something underneath the plane. Right. And the father's like, what is that? He's like, no, Dad, that's a whatever it is. And it's this little boy. Yes, exactly.
Not a bomb. It's a drop tank.
And yeah, it's a drop
tank. I didn't know what a drop tank was.
And I'm sitting there on my couch. I'm laughing. I go, this is the most amazing thing. And so, and you're telling us, you know, through your research, through your work, that it's more common than we think. And my fear is that with a lot of children, because parents, not that they don't care, they take care of them, but they don't listen to what kids are saying, or they just cast it off as whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. That a lot of these fascinating stories are just lost to time.
Right. And it's more than that. I mean, I think that really the reason why this is coming up, especially the traumatic memories, like in little James's case and in Chase's case, is because they need to heal from the past experience. So on a very deep level, it's very important to acknowledge these memories and do what this mother did. Andrea comforted him and said, you're now safe, you know, what happened. She wanted to get the story out so he could have some kind of catharsis or resolution with it, and it worked. You know, he is finally at peace with his memory. Actually, there's a whole book in her story, which I'm encouraging her to write, because hers is the best case that I've found in the United States.
Well, just like with your son Chase, you know, the kid found peace as your son began to relax once they were told, well, whatever their conflict was, that it was okay.
Right.
So it's the situation sound very similar.
They, in that sense, they are. Except in James's case, he remembered his best friend's name, the name of the aircraft carrier, and what kind of plane he flew. So we were able to, or the father was able to, actually find out who he was in a previous life, and found out that this pilot had a surviving sister who lives in California, who's now in her 80s. And they contacted her, and she really believes that this is her brother reincarnated.
And then where does it go from there, Carol? I mean, you have all this information. Obviously, it's legitimate, the drop tank. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But where does it go from there? I mean, do you squeeze the kid for information, or what happens?
No. In fact, I discourage that. I think if a child is having difficulty with the memory, it's okay to try to elicit more information, try to get them to talk about it. But you don't squeeze the kids. You know, and also if you ask them, you know, if they mention it one day and you ask them the next, they might not say anything.
Right.
It has to really emanate from them.
Spontaneously, so, it's got to come out.
Right, spontaneously. So you wait for the opportunities, and then you ask open-ended questions and try to get more information. And if they seem troubled by it, you assure them that, you know, whatever happened, it's all right now, they're back, you know, they have a loving family or whatever, you know, just to try to ground them in the present.
And not scare them from opening up when they have these thoughts.
Exactly. And I actually have heard over the years from adults who remembered having memories as a child and were hushed by their parents or dismissed by their parents, and they said they never really got over it because then they learned not to trust these internal experiences.
Well, actually, as Steve and I talked about earlier, that he believes society is awakening and from that and entering a new phase. Hopefully.
I hope so.
I hope he's right. We have to one more break, and then we'll wrap things up with Carol Bowman and Steve Sakellaris. It's 4:52. Cairo. This is the Lou Pate Show with Steven Sakellaris and Carol Bowman. Now, Carol, we've barely begun to scratch the surface, and time is so short. Hopefully, you can come back again, but I did not want to let you go without mentioning your two books, Children's Past Lives and the other, Return from Heaven. Are those available on your website? Because I would highly encourage the 710 Cairo listeners to check those out.
They should be available in your local bookstore, or, you know, definitely online through Amazon or Barnes & Noble, whatever. They're out there.
They're out there, and if anybody forgets the titles, just email me, and we'll get those up on the website again. It's Carol Bowman, and it's Children's Past Lives and Return from Heaven. Steven Sakellaris, thank you very much. You've been most generous with your time this morning, and Carol, again, as you know from your research, we've barely scratched the surface, and I know you're very busy, but hopefully you can come back and join us again before long.
Thanks, Lou.
Thank you, Carol. Please hold. Steven, please hold. It's 4:55 here on the Lou Pate Show as we make our way towards the weekend. Again, Carol Bowman's website, www.childpastlives.org. or the Reincarnation Forum at www.reincarnationforum.com. Both Carol's websites and Steven Sakellaris' websites are on my page on the Cairo site, as always. And again, those books, Children's Past Lives and Return from Heaven. Gary Mance, producer of the show, excellent job tonight, as always. Appreciate your help in putting this together. You have yourself a wonderful weekend. News is next. This is the Lou Pate Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Where are you guys? I'm going home.